Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin, the podcast.
On J. Will, Zubin, presented by Progressive Insurance. Barton on in with J. Will.
I'm taking a conference call right now. What is going on?
What are you doing?
Man, I got to cut the internet back on for my kids, man. I forgot to pay the bill.
You got to get the re-call. Oh, I thought you were being serious. You're on the phone.
I am serious.
You are serious. You're on hold. No, he thought this was, man. You got to put it on
the I thought I could get it in, son. You got to put it on the credit card
so it just comes direct bill. You
hey,
know
man,
what I mean?
My kids going to detention, man. Can't turn in their homework today. All good.
Oh, that's
my,
yeah.
Daddy bad. My bad.
It's no, right.
Daddy.
You be
it's our bad. It's our bad, Dad, for believing in you.
Pay for that internet, man.
It's our bad, Dad, for believing in you.
It's like every time there's a Zoom call, I'm like, no, I don't want you to see my face. I just want to walk my dog or walk around.
Right.
I don't know, maybe take a shower, put you on mute, have you not know I'm even not listening?
Exactly.
And then come back to the conference call. No more Zooms.
This will be great.
I'm done.
Just say.
See, Mel had,
every
to,
day,
Mel had to release
Easter.
Anger, and now I feel like now Bart and I are releasing
yeah, that,
frustration.
That was, that was quite the rant. By the way, it's trivia time. Which program has the most wooden award
winners. The birds just scared
another
the hell
bird
out of
that just flew. Now I know how Keyshawn felt when he was in the other studio. Another bird just flew up here right across the window. Just
we got to stop using the Windex. We
got to
stop
on,
using
man.
The Windex, man.
We used to have all the shades down so you couldn't see outside. All right, I'm sorry. We're just very distracted
bird just,
right now.
Bart, remember we did the show? For a week, we did our show in the NFL live studio.
Yeah.
Upstairs.
And every single show around was it like 1:30?
Yeah.
Helicopter. I mean, it was like they were coming for us. Get to the chopper. Like, it was always
get to the chopper now.
Right over us. And we look around like
what is
they
going
found
on?
Us again, Bart. They found us again.
Best is when it happens while you're live on air. And everybody's
we
like,
were.
Just go through it. You're like, all right.
Lost my thought. Totally forgot. B.A. Baracus. Was that what
that's
I was
right.
About?
That's what we were doing. The A-team was coming. Yeah. That's right. That's what we were talking about. Anyways, trivia time. Which program has the most Wooden Award winners in school history? The voting just completed. I have the answer. Jay, can you guess?
Mm. Wait, say that again? That was a long, extended
which program
question.
Has the most Wooden Award winners in school history?
I mean, is this a multiple choice question on the test?
Do you want me to give
yeah,
you?
Can you give me like four
I'll
options?
I'll give you the four options.
You see, that's a way of cheating, right?
Indeed,
reverse
yeah.
that cheating yeah. style.
You're buying time.
Yeah, give me a 25% chance.
All right, so I'll give you the percentages that were voted. So I'll even give you that, what the people feel, all right?
That doesn't
from
help
top
me.
To bottom. I'm just telling you, all right? This was asked on Key JNZ, okay?
Okay.
All right, on the Twitter handle. So the most votes went to UCLA, 49.2%.
Hmm.
Second most votes went to Duke, 21.6. Third to UNC, 16.8%. And in Kansas at 12.4%.
Kansas is the answer.
Yeah, I would go.
Kansas is the answer?
Final answer? You want to phone
final
a friend?
Answer.
Do you like Kansas. To? Will you want to phone a friend?
Can I phone a friend?
Bart is already on hold.
Okay,
with
yeah,
something.
Bart, are you still on hold?
Ask whoever you're on hold
he
with.
He has to check his phone.
Answer.
He forgot. I'll go with Kansas.
Kansas? You chose poorly.
Ooh.
And you're going to hate this.
Oh, is it my school? Oh, this is so disappointing. I should know this.
Shane Battier alone.
I will not be allowed to walk back into Cameron Indoor Stadium and see Coach K face to face.
Shane Battier looking again. At you like, come on,
Duke.
Man.
Come on, man. Yeah. And I won one. That's the part that's who's disappointing about it.
How about that low-key, like, little flex?
Yeah.
And I won one.
Well, I literally, when we transitioned to, hey, Jay, work from home, I was like, I'm going to put the Wooden Award right
yes.
here.
Did
so
you play with Shane Battier?
Every, I did. We played
the
same
we all grew up together. Man, I always looked at him. He looked like an Army
oh,
sergeant.
Nice.
No, he, I always thought he was like an Army sergeant head. You know what I mean? I was looking like, why you got all that hamburger meat in the back of his head, man? We came out together. We both from Michigan together,
oh,
man.
No.
Shane, I didn't say it. It's Bart.
We both from D. You know he had all that hot hamburger meat in the back of his head, man. Like, like a...
I'm
rock
not going there
back
Shane.
Then.
I'm leaving Shane
the good news is, Jay, you get to join us on our show at 1 o'clock today.
Yeah, we just keep working together.
I love Shane Battier, man. He represented for the D.
Yeah, he's involved in a huge SPAC right now, too. He's doing his thing.
Hmm,
I like it. Mel Kiper doing his thing also on the mock draft, right?
Yeah,
and
that
so,
was solid.
And then the rant is...
It was a really innocent question.
Oh, we like, do. All right, so we have it. So if you might have missed it in just previous segment, we had Mel Kiper Jr. on it, and an innocent question asked about Mac Jones, the Alabama, right, the pro day,
yeah,
just that Alabama's having, and you know, just you know, will you watch it? And his response was epic.
Nothing, because I won't watch it. I could care less. You know,
I love it, Mel.
Yeah, pro days to me. I'll give you some evidence to justify a rant about pro days. Okay.
Okay.
Jamarcus Russell, according to Eric Todd McShay, my good friend Todd, had the best pro day ever. Right. Peyton Manning may have had the worst pro day ever. Bouncing passes, wobbly balls, GMs rolling their eyes. If it was Peyton Jones, not Peyton Manning, it'd be a third round pick. I've heard all this garbage and nonsense for 43 years now. So I learned after all that to say, really, pro days?
The Teddy Bridgewater wearing a glove. Yeah. Remember that
Teddy
controversy?
Glove, Teddy no gloves.
Yeah, like that whole thing. Yeah.
Tell him why you mad, son. Tell him why I'm mad.
Mel's face started to get red while he was going next level. You could tell it took him there.
Yeah. Tell you about pro days.
But I mean, what do we – again, you're the football guy. What is a pro day? Like, what is it? Like, to show your speed? What are you doing?
They want to see how the ball flies out of the quarterback's hand.
But you have tape of countless
games but you want to see it, right? You want to be up close and personal to see how it comes off. Like, you can really gauge arm strength by actually physically being there and seeing, like, the 15-yard out, seeing how it comes off. Sometimes you can hear a sound, that flick, yeah, that shoop, shoop. So that's what you want to do, because on film you can't see all that. You want to feel the player's presence. You want to be around him. You want to see physically, how does he stack up? How does he look? Right? You know, you're talking about a sport where guys get up in underwear and spin around and do all that type of craziness, right? They want to see if he has a high butt, right? What does high butt mean? Well, high butt means that you have explosive. You're explosive, right? High butt, high calves. You're an explosive player, right? Fast twitch, right? So it's like you're going around, like some of the guys that you see, like. Never mind. I'm going down a rabbit hole.
Please don't go down.
Because I was about to go
down.
Don't
go down too deep.
Like some of the bodies that you see, like right, work no. out. I was talking about Kevin Booth, like he got second, like the Goodyear blimp. You know, like, man, you got.
but if you like, never did mind. Did you have? Were you in a? You had a pro day. You had to have had some. Type
I had
of
a pro
workout.
Day. Yeah, I had one team show up.
What team?
The Ravens. The only team that.
The only thing that mattered. I remember this story. And then you said, didn't they tell you like? Don't work out for anybody.
Yeah, they didn't tell me. They wouldn't tell me any of my numbers, right? And like they tell the story all the time about how some of my skills were like wide receiver skills wide receiver time. So they kept making me run the same thing. And then they thought the scout that came was lying. So they sent out somebody else the next week. They worked me out three different times, sent three different people out because they thought the other guy was lying. And finally, they believed me. They said, we're not going to tell anybody your times, and kept me a secret.
Exactly.
Yeah, got me for $500.
Football.
Right, like, listen, Ozzy gave me $500, but he called me, it was $1,000. Then I got there, like, Ozzy, you going to take $500 from me, bro? Like, you can pay me cash? Listen, I signed my first NFL check. I cashed it at a check cashing joint in Security Mall, and they had plexiglass.
Mall cop.
And, and then when I gave ID, it to please. Him, when I gave it to him, dude took my check like this. This ain't no NFL check, bro. Like, man, hold up, man. Like dudes in the back, man, probably working for Pet Boys, had a bigger check than me. Like, man, it's some craziness, man.
See, I find it so interesting in the NFL because in basketball, like, you can – I've seen a lot of guys, not their pro day, but, like, those individual workouts.
Yeah.
Those things are orchestrated to a T.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you're doing that same exact workout for a month leading into the draft. And all of a sudden you bring in all these different scouts, and people walk away like, man, he looked great. And you're like, well – he's been practicing those same movements for a whole month, every day, straight, two times a day.
Man,
memory,
listen,
exactly.
The dude that worked me out didn't even really want to work me out. Like, he was on his way to U of I, and he worked me out because they made him, right?
So he had to stop to get gas. I might as well work out Bart since I'm stopping to get gas.
I didn't even have a vert thing, like, with the things. He made me take my finger and put in some chalk and touch the wall.
Stop.
I'm like, yo.
Stop. He did not make you stop.
I stood next to the wall. He made me put my hand in some chalk and jump and bam. And it was still a 37. It was a 37-inch vert. Listen,
Jay,
it was a 37-inch vert, and I hit my triceps on the way up. Like, yo, I'm lowering it. I had an 11-2 broad jump. And listen, if you're out there, you can call up. Everybody, Phil Savage, TV. Listen, I'm not making this up. 37-inch vertical, and I hit my tricep with chalk. And also, you know, when you reach out, I'm not here. I'm here. Like, bro.
Why'd they give you the dollar store workout?
Man, bro.
I told you.
Thought I was playing when I said I was Bobby Boucher, man. Everybody was going to D1AA's next year trying to find the next me. Like,
crying.
Yo, where they find this dude from? Man, I tell you, man, it's hard out there for a pimp. Then this dude didn't give me no water. No water for two hours.
There wasn't even a water fountain that you could run to?
No water for 2 hours.
Where was this workout at?
It was at my school.
Your school to have a water fountain?
Nah, not outside. Listen, they didn't work me out. I had to go to, like, the student center. Like, sorry, it was dudes sitting there playing basketball. They playing elite.
Like,
sorry,
nah, you can't
like,
do your
workout. Like, excuse me, we need this space right here, sir.
For recreation.
For what,
basketball?
Man? I pay all my dues. Like, nah, man. Come on, I'm trying to go to the league, man. You trying to win your group tournament. Your AA,
you're talking about somebody that earned his way to the NFL.
One day I'm going to tell the story about, listen, how I thought I was crashing in a plane crash because I didn't know we were landing because I was in a plane with no damn windows.
Like,
who does that?
Right.
You never knew, see? God, see, you had it easy, Mr. Privilege.
Hey, well, like,
you understand?
Don't
you ain't lived.
I'm not attacking you.
Have not lived until you land in a plane with no damn windows. You have no idea, no depth perception. You talk about playing in a dome where you could. I landed in a plane. I thought I was dying.
Nobody.
I was asleep. Like, no.
Cut off his mic.
Like, we all
Cut
gotta
off
go.
His damn mic.
I had no windows.
It's over.
You didn't even know UPS flu commercial. You don't know nothing about that life, Jay Weezy.
Oh man,
where we at?
Where we at? He says we are somewhere. This needs
Bart,
to be
you
a
are
movie.
Unique.
This needs
it's therapy
to be a movie.
For me.
You're really a different value proposition.
If you're still listening, it's Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin, and we apologize. Maybe not. Barton Hahn.
Y'all know I ain't lying out there, people from Southern Illinois.
J. Will, presented by Progressive Insurance.
Child
Progressive.
Abuse.
They're making things even easier. They'll help you bundle your home and car insurance together so you can save on both. Learn more at progressive.com or 1-800-PROGRESSIVE.
Where were we? Let me look at this.
Special.
So unique.
KJZ, ESPN Radio. You know somebody who might understand some of what Bart was just explaining about being at a mid-major, the way you travel, how it's a lot different than, you know, those fluffy big time schools like the ones Jay went to.
Oh, come on.
I'm
y'all
just saying.
Stop setting me up. Come on, man.
Rich kid.
I'm just saying,
rich
wow.
Kid.
Now you're attacking me?
Paul Mills, coach at Oral Roberts.
It's my boy, Paul Mills. He used to be assistant coach over at Baylor.
Joins
what's
on
up,
the
Pete?
Goodyear hotline. Paul, I don't know if you heard any
Jay
of
Will.
That.
What's up? Good.
What's up? I haven't talked to you in a minute. Congrats, Paul. Congrats, man.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much.
I'm not sure if you heard any of what Bart was talking about, Bart Scott, and he went to Southern Illinois and was talking, and I don't think he was making it up about travel and workouts and different things that are a lot different at the mid-major level. But where you guys are as a program and yet where you are in this tournament obviously is something that was, to a lot of people, a surprise. I wonder, though, to you, is the performance of your team so far a surprise?
No, I mean, you know, what coach doesn't go out there, what player doesn't go out there and think they're going to win? And, I mean, you kind of don't tackle the big picture. You just tackle what's in front of you. And so, honest to goodness, after we played Ohio State, I had no idea who was even on the other side of the bracket. I was like, well, who are we going to end up playing? And this is, you know, 20 minutes after the game. And so I think you just get so locked in on, like, what's next. And I think you get – your guys are so locked in on what's next. And, I mean, none of our guys, nobody on our staff, didn't think we were not going to win the Ohio State game. And I've just really encouraged our guys, like, listen, our job is to focus on what's in front of us and not really get caught up in the big picture. We obviously watched the selection show. But we kind of understood that the first thing you have to tackle is Ohio State, and let's be prepared for that one. And then we'll figure out what's next.
Paul, you and I have known each other for a long time. I got
long time. When you were getting buckets at Duke.
Yeah, I got to ask you a serious question, though. Have you washed your clothes yet? Have you washed your clothes?
No, literally, no.
You buy some new ones?
No, I'm struggling. And so we turned in our clothes yesterday at 9 a.m. So I was done going into the Florida game. And I don't mean to be gross, but, I mean, now here we are. They said 24 hours, and I'm sure hopefully sometime this morning they'll get delivered. So the good thing is we were off all day yesterday, so I never had to go out in public.
Paul, hey. I got to tell you this. I got a couple of texts from some Florida players before your game, literally saying that, you know, we are not going to be this team that gets beat by a Cinderella team. Like, we're not going to be it. Tell your people over at ESPN that this is not happening. I sat there and I watched the whole game and I said, you know what? This is what makes the tournament so damn great. Like, a kid like Max Asemus, who is so talented, how critical has it been having guard play for you, Paul, considering that, you know, that's what you do, being able to lead this team to a different threshold in this NCAA tournament?
Yeah, I mean, I tell you, the three things that we talk about, in actually four, in order to win in tournament play, we talked about this, you better have really good guard play. Like, guys, you better take care of the ball. We better make sure we have the right shots. We understand the right shots for each player. But the reality for us is I told those guys, we have five guards. So all five of the guys that we can put out there can shoot. I mean, even, you know, Kevin at 6'8", he was a 50% three-point shooter in our conference. And so to have guard play at all of your spots, I mean, we're top 15 in the country at not turning it over. We're number one in the country at making threes. We make more than any other team out there, a little north of 11 a game. And then we shoot a good percentage. You know, I think we're 12th in the country. And so from that perspective, we put five guards. So guard play is so critical. And I'll tell you this, because I've watched your career so much, Jay, I can remember, you know, down 10 at Maryland, and I remember you saying the thing that triggered it for you was hearing the fans chant overrated. Mm-hmm. And that's what triggers it for us. Like, I mean, there's something that internally happens to you, like, you don't belong here, you can't handle this stage. And I've got guys that when you start saying that stuff, they get upset. And I'm just telling you, there's something internally, as we talk to our guys, you have to win within. Like, winning starts on the inside before it ever gets exhibited externally. And we've just got a group of guys that understand you have to take care of the ball, you got to take good shots, and by the same token, you have to have a certain grit and determination and resiliency in order to really get over the hump on these games. And we've been fortunate these first two.
Hey, Coach, how do you stop it from turning midnight? You know, you guys are a Cinderella story, and you're not going to sneak up on anybody right now. What's the message to your team right now in understanding that you may have to weather a storm because teams are going to come out and try and attack you?
Yeah, I would tell you that I don't think that there was any disillusionment on Ohio State, felt that way about Florida. I mean, it wasn't as if they didn't come in prepared and there wasn't tenacity. And the only thing that I've told our guys is, one, if you like losing, then respond to all your text messages and read social media. If you don't like losing, respond to your mom and your dad and your girlfriend. But that other stuff can wait. And if you start buying into this, and as you guys know, this stuff is so phony. And I go back to the EJ Liddell tweets. These people will turn on you quick. And obviously that was way over the top, but that's the way fandom works. But on the same side, the people who hype you up, if you ever have an issue, these people will not be here for you. And so you need to understand just how phony this stuff is, and you need to be locked in on what's most important. And what's most important, the most important team in this tournament, guys, is us. It's not anybody else. So we need to make sure we're doing us right.
Paul, is there an advantage to staying in one centralized location for 3 weeks instead of you guys winning your first two games in the fashion you won them, going back home, letting all the kids be celebrated and everybody have fun? Is it more advantageous for you and your team to stay concentrated and focused in being that one location?
100%. 100% it helps. I mean, as you know, I've been fortunate to go to four Sweet 16s as an assistant. And you go home, you fly, the next day you're there, there's the media and there's the pulling. And then you get two or three days of practice, then you got to fly somewhere else, and then you're dealing with media. And it becomes a circus. And And so I'm really thankful that we don't have to deal with that.
Coach, it's great to talk to you. We hope the run continues for you and the team.
Thank you very much.
Keep
Thank
winning, Paul.
Much.
Keep doing your thing.
We'll do it. We'll do it.
That's great.
Get some new underwear.
I love, by the way, he's another one that point out. It's two people we've talked to with these mid-majors, right? He said, you know, people saying that you aren't good enough, that you can't win. You hear that and it fires you up. Remember what Cam Krutwig told us as well before the Illinois game. Yeah, we felt like they were looking past us, that they weren't taking it serious.
That gets you
fired up. So that's what's happening in the tournament this year, and we'll see if that can continue. No doubt about that. Well, there is a team hoping to break Oral Roberts' glass slipper, if you may, and that we will discuss next. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin on ESPN Radio.
The madness.
Drives to the hoop, missed it. Rebound Arkansas. Game over. The Razorbacks are headed for the Sweet 16.
The Westwood One NCAA Radio Network. This is Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
The dream run continues. The Gonzaga Bulldogs stay undefeated and go to the Sweet 16 for the sixth straight year. The Zags beat Oklahoma 87-71.
That's the sound on Westwood One NCAA Radio Network. Gonzaga, Michigan, dancing into the Sweet 16. Gonzaga remains the betting favorite, according to Caesars Sportsbook by William Hill. Can they finish the perfect season? That's the question. On to the NFL. The Giants make another addition, this time on the defensive side. Cornerback Adoree Jackson, a three-year, $39 million deal. Adam Schefter does the reporting on that. Jackson started 41 of 46 games with the Titans, but a knee injury just before the start of last season limited him to just three games in 2020. Six more lawsuits filed against Deshaun Watson, including one alleging sexual assault this month, March of 2021. The attorney representing the women, Tony Busby, has filed 13 lawsuits against Watson since last week. Busby told Fox 26 in Houston on Monday night that he filed a 14th lawsuit, but it has not appeared on the Harris County District Court website, at least not on Monday night. SportsCenter, brought to you by Indeed. It's an instant gratification world. That's why Indeed has Instant Match. It searches millions of resumes in Indeed's database to deliver you people who fit your job description right away. To learn more about all Indeed's great hiring tools, visit Indeed.com/credit. Keyshawn, J. Will, Zubin, presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline. Bart Scott, Alan Hahn, Bart and Hahn, joining Jay Will. And Jay Will will join us, by the way, at 1 o'clock Eastern on our show, which starts at noon Eastern, right here on ESPN Radio.
You think I'm back for Wednesday?
After today?
Yeah, my therapy session. I don't know.
I thought that was great. I like when you just completely just go full Tropic Thunder.
Yeah, I mean, just, I had to get some stuff off my chest, man.
I can tell.
It's understood.
Been through a lot through my life.
Well, the story now, I almost feel like you almost have to tell the story about the windowless plane that you took.
Man, we were flying to a game, man.
Yes.
Like, and I didn't realize, and I had a fear of flying anyway, and I had no windows. Like, so turbulence, you fall asleep on a plane. Listen,
so,
yeah.
Let's ask
it. It gets worse, man.
Eric Musselman, the coach of Arkansas, joins us right now.
They flying a good plane.
On the Goodyear hotline. But you know what? Coach did coach in the D-League when it was called the D-League, so maybe he has experienced a windowless charter plane to a game, as Bart was describing. Coach, how you doing?
I'm doing great. Thanks so much for having me on. Well, not only did I experience the G League, but I can take it a step further. The Venezuelan national team.
Oh, there you go.
The Dominican Republic. So I've had plenty of outdoor practices and some long bus rides.
Well, now you're in a run in the tournament that obviously has everybody in the nation now looking at your team and looking at your program and seeing how far they can go. What has this been like? What has the experience been like as far as not just the tournament, but the fact that it's in a bubble?
It's been really unique. First of all, the NCAA has done a great job of putting us in as good a bubble as you could possibly be. I mean, but it's challenging. You know, having spent some time in the NBA, I have a lot of friends that were in that bubble, and I can promise you we're not fishing. We're not going out on long walks. We're not sitting by a pool, and we're not golfing. I can promise you our bubble does not consist of any of that. But it's been good. It's unique. Having been a part of a Sweet 16 at Nevada, this is a much different experience for the student athletes. And, it's challenging because, some of the stuff that I think is awesome about this tournament, it is having your fans in your hotel lobby and the band and the cheerleaders. And I know some coaches might feel that that's a distraction, but I actually think that, you know, that's the experience that I remember from our Nevada Sweet 16 run was hanging out with family and friends. And the other night we won. And as we got on the bus, I kind of had to wave to one of my sons and my daughter and my wife. And that's pretty unique not to be able to go up and give them a hug and celebrate. You know, because your family, you know, they sacrifice so much in this. So it is challenging.
Eric, so happy to see you do well and see Arkansas basketball be back. The two things I learned about your team, number one, you guys are tough as nails. And number two, you guys keep all receipts. And what I'm talking about is actually after you guys beat Texas Tech, there was a reporter that said, when I look at the head coaches in this game, I think one of the biggest mismatches we're going to see in the round of 32. We're going to be talking. We're going into this game versus Utah about Chris Beard's record looks like an NCAA tournament. Well, he has been licking his chops. You took that personally because you responded back to that reporter, and I'm curious how that motivated your team.
I don't really. I mean, because you play Jay, you know, like guys, players don't care about that.
It's like, I know, but you care about that, Eric. I know who you are.
Oh, yes, they do.
I care about it because I have such great respect for the coaching profession. And I, you know, myself, our entire staff, like we work to get to this point, you know, having coached in the NBA, having gone through the G League and then going and being an NBA assistant coach, you know, to get back to being a head coach, there's a lot of sacrifices made by a lot of people. And so anyway, but our players, I think they play with the chip on their shoulders, not because of anything externally, but they play with the chip on their shoulders because that's who they are. They're a tough-minded group. We had incredible respect for Coach Beard and Texas Tech because we know how tough-minded they are. We know what great defensive team they were. So I think that's why. And you play hard for yourself. You play hard for your family members. And that's why I think our team is a really competitive bunch, not because of anything that's said or written. Mm-hmm.
Coach, you guys are right there. Your goal is right in front of your face. How are you keeping the guys engaged mentally? Because you talk about those distractions of having a band in the lobby, being able to see your family. You don't have any of that. So how are you keeping them engaged but also allowing them to step away from the game to kind of, you know, take their – make sure that they don't get any mental fatigue?
Yeah, and that's a great point. Like the mental, physical, you know, being at your peak is so important. You know, practice-wise, at this time of year, it's more about your mental preparation than physical. I know some teams even in the prior round, because our practice sites are, you know, we're in a convention center next to each other, and some people are still going live, and we're doing much more mental stuff in the film room, walkthroughs, talking about different angles on defensive pick and rolls and those type of things. But what we have been doing, which has been really, really cool, we feel like we bonded over the last 2 weeks, maybe more than we did the whole season, because we spent so much time together. We have a little thing called Voices and Choices where we'll get up. The other night it was get up and tell us what you're going to do or what you would like to do when you're done playing. And we learned so much about each other. There's been other things that we've discussed, like, you know, tell us the most important family member and why, or who is your hero, all those type of things. We've just been trying to keep our guys engaged. And then we do a lot of funny things. The other day we spliced up some footage of one of our players playing football in high school. And so we're trying to do everything we can to stay loose, have fun, and enjoy the experience.
We're talking with Eric Musselman, Arkansas head coach on the Mus Bus. Arkansas in the Sweet 16 for the first time since 1996. Jay's a big fan of Moses Moody. He's been talking him up. Tell me what kind of player he is.
Well, I'm with Jay. I'm a big fan of Moses Moody, too. he's a really special player. He's got great length. The other night against Texas Tech, we actually started three freshmen. Which doesn't really happen when you're going into a game to try to make the Sweet 16, to be that young. But Moses is way mature beyond his age. He studies the game. He's the last one out of our team meals. When we finish our team meals, we always break it down with a film session. He's the last one out, glued to the screen, asking questions, texting questions. And he's an NBA shooter, and he's really improved his dribble drive isolation game. He's a much underrated offensive rebounder. He's got great length. He's got an incredibly bright future ahead of him.
Eric, how has your time at Nevada really prepared you for this moment with this team?
Well, I think, Jay, a lot. They don't like to hear it. They start laughing now when I bring Nevada up. But I like to use some of the examples. For instance, when we were getting ready to play Colgate, I went into a lot of in-depth conversations about how our team prepared for Loyola when we lost to try to get to an Elite Eight. You know, I think that our team felt like they could turn it off and on like a light switch. And you can't do that. You've got to have great respect for every opponent. You've got to understand that each team in this tournament has an identity and a style that makes them unique and hard to win. And even in that first half against Colgate, you know, because we talked about it at halftime, hey, I told you guys, I warned you, like, these guys are great cutters. They have incredible shooting range. They're incredibly well coached. And so I have been able to try to utilize that. And I think, too, you know, once we got to the Sweet 16, maybe at Nevada, we were slightly, you know, felt like we had accomplished something. With this team, you know, one of the themes that we've talked about is one more. We want one more day together. We want one more game together. And that's something that we continue to talk about, you know, every time we have one of our meetings.
It's funny. We were talking with Cam Krutwig, right, from Loyola, and he was talking about what you just mentioned, how before the game against Illinois, and they were obviously in-state, little rivalry there, a smaller school against the state school. And he said they just felt like they were looking past us. They were looking over us. You had that vibe. And he said, so it kind of like gave us that little extra something. Not only do you want to beat that bigger team, the bigger program, but then the way they were looking at us, he admitted it, that we felt it, and it drove us even more. That's probably at this point, seeing the way that the tournament is playing out with a lot of these double-digit seeds that have moved on and some upsets that we've seen, that probably is a huge challenge for a lot of the bigger programs, to make sure, hey, don't look past anyone. Once they're in this tournament, anyone can get beat.
Yeah, I think it's breaking down, you know, the opponents and showing enough film to grab attention on the special players that there are, because each team, you know, has a star. Each team has a star role player. You know, little things like, you know, guys that slip screens, all those things. And basketball is an art. And if you don't really, really respect and dissect your opponent, you know, you can get popped. And at the end of the day, it still comes down to, as Chuck Daly used to say when I worked for him with the Orlando Magic, it's a make or miss league. And in these games, sometimes it's a make or miss game. If in 40 minutes, anything can happen. And the biggest thing is you don't ever want to have a regret or a woulda, coulda, shoulda with your effort. That's the one thing that you can control every single time you step between the lines. And if shots don't fall on some night, you know, you have to live with it. But you never want to live with the regret of not playing with maximum effort.
Coach, we appreciate your time. Good luck the rest of the way.
Thanks, Eric. Appreciate it.
Thanks, you guys. Appreciate it. Thank you.
All right, you got it. Again, like, that is the one thing to watch in this tournament. Don't take anyone lightly at this point. It gets real from here on out. Gonzaga versus the field. Plus, will the Lakers have to play their way into the playoff field? That's after Jay has this from Goodyear.
Goodyear knows when the season starts heating up, so do the possibilities. That's right, Bart. Playoff hopefuls are beginning to emerge, and contenders are solidifying their position. From here on out, every game is a chance to create momentum, to make the right pass, the right move, to hit the perfect shot. It takes momentum to build up to the moment, but it takes everything to capture it. Goodyear, more driven.
Is your team planning on taking a quarterback in the draft? If so, don't miss Mel's Mock Draft with me on ESPN Radio. Mel will join me live as we'll figure out how the landscape gets changed on draft night. It's Greening, 10 a.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Oh, there it is.
Ooh, hey.
Don't play around. Come on, Bart. Come on, Bart.
Get
Come
it,
on,
Bart. Get it. Oh! How are you short with those muscles on all your shots?
It's lactic acid, man. These popcorn muscles.
You got to stretch it out before you shoot, man.
Hey, Armageddon. Yeah, baby. Yeah, baby. Miami style, baby.
Only with Bart.
Oh, we on air?
Will the show ever be
the
same?
Yeah, we'll be live, man.
Will it ever be the same?
Told y'all I'd invite y'all an inappropriate cousin over the house. You know how to act.
It's my song back in the club, though.
Yeah, man.
Back in the day, it's my song.
Fly on the wall, see Jay Weezy get in there, hit the two-step.
Yeah, no, I'm at the table just watching.
Ah, nice.
Alan? NBA is on ESPN Radio, no diggity.
No doubt.
Tune in tonight as Zion and the Pelicans host the Lakers. Wow, it's just the Lakers. It's Zion and the Pelicans against
the Lakers.
The Lakers.
Not the King and the Lakers.
Right.
Not AD and the Lakers. The Lakers.
The Lakers. Yeah. It's almost like, yeah, I had to read it this way. Zion and the Pelicans host the Lakers. Presented by Indeed. Coverage begins at 7 p.m. Eastern on most ESPN radio stations. And today on ESPN Daily, more Zion. He's evolving into one of the most unique basketball players ever. Hear how he's doing it and how far he could lead the New Orleans Pelicans. That's on ESPN Daily.
Y'all don't flex games?
Listen on your favorite podcast app.
Yeah, we saw it too. Okay. But it's crazy to me, though, that Zion is having a better year than what he had last year. He's an all-star. But yet, nobody talks about Zion this year. It's not the same, like,
why?
Pop.
Why?
I don't know. I'm not over it. I know that he's been playing the point guard position.
Point forward.
And
point forward.
It's something that's uniquely different with the way Stan's been utilizing him.
Designed by my cousin, Scottie Pippen.
But they're still losing really close games, though, which I think is a sign that this team, obviously, they need to make some moves. And, you know, obviously, the Knicks, I've been hearing rumors about them being involved, potential Lonzo Ball. Yeah. Right?
I'm all in on Lonzo.
J.J. Redick doesn't, you know, want to be there long term. Something like
north.
That. Where do you bring him?
So is Lonzo that guy, that chess piece? Because you talk about Lowry maybe going out to the Raptors, but what if he goes somewhere else?
Not to the Clippers, or the Heat.
So will Lonzo be that piece, you know, for that facilitator, that playmaker?
For the Clippers?
Yeah, for the Clippers, potentially, if they can't get
Kyle. Yeah, Bart thinks that maybe if they can't get Kyle Lowry, that maybe would the Clippers make the move for Lonzo to get themselves a playmaker at the point guard position?
I think that helps. I think there's something, though, there's a little bit difference between Kyle Lowry, Mike Lowry's
the
little
dog.
Brother.
Yeah, the dog.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's that bark is a strong bark from him.
Yeah,
it's a really strong bark. And Lonzo's more quiet. He's competitive. I like the way he plays. Good facilitator. But Kyle brings that toughness, that grit, that championship mentality.
And Lonzo hasn't been there yet. And the Clippers need somebody that's kind of been there.
That verbal, and then, you know, him going back and teaming back up with Kawhi. Right.
Well, that's why I said before. Everybody's like, you know, Kawhi's an incredible player. I'm like, yes. But Kawhi hasn't been the leader on his championship teams, right? The Spurs, that was Tim Duncan. That was Manu Ginobili. That was Tony Parker.
Right.
The vocal guys on that team. You need that.
Right.
And the same with Toronto. That was Kyle Lowry. So now with PG's been playing better this year. But, like, you need somebody with the ball in their hands. Be like, yo, stop. PG, go over here.
Yeah.
Kawhi, come get this bucket and give him 30. Stop. You need somebody like that.
Yeah. Beverly, they'd be like, Beverly, like, go over there. Man, you can't ball. Shut up. You ain't qualified.
Well, I love P. Bev. That's my dude. Yeah, but you want him to be a hawk defensively. I don't want him to create offense for me.
That's not who he is. That. Yeah. Meanwhile, again, as you mentioned, the Pelicans and Zion and how much – they're 18-24. I mean, they're 12th. You know, they're three games out of being in the 7-10. Like, they've got to do something
and
figure it out.
They created the 7-10 just for Zion.
You know, last year, essentially.
He's not lying.
Yeah.
It's created for
him.
He's not
wrong.
Lying. So we asked you this morning, everyone, and this was at KeyJNZ on Twitter. Who are you taking to win the NCAA tournament now after the round of 32? And I just said simply, is it Gonzaga or the field, right? So what do you think the people said? Gonzaga or the field?
Gonzaga.
The field.
I think the majority of the people took Gonzaga.
Gonzaga. 57.2%, though. Like, not overwhelming, of course. And then 42.8 saying the field. Mike in Minneapolis. Mike, who you taking?
Hey, thank you guys for taking the call. And I just wanted to say prayers to go out to Keyshawn and his family and everything they're dealing with. I just wanted to say that.
Thanks, Mike.
Sorry for the field, everybody. It's going to be Gonzaga. You know, when they've got people like Timmy, you know, getting 14 free throws yesterday, and Kisper, you know, four threes, and from Minneapolis, obviously Jalen Suggs and the way he's able to, you know, control the tempo, and they're just as a whole just balanced, more balanced than any other team in the tournament at this point in time. And they not only balance on defense, but they're balanced on offense. They can attack every team in whatever defense that they put out. You guys were talking about Syracuse. I mean, you know, that zone. I mean, you know, Jalen's getting in the middle and dominating that, and they've got people to shoot from the outside and everything like that as well. You know, Jalen's probably one of the best players coming out of Minneapolis since, you know, Khalid Al-Amin, and, you know, and then they had Rip that beat somebody's alma mater in 1999, you know, who was 37-1 in the championship game. But, you know, they're just as, you know, balanced and great, you know, playing against all these teams, and I don't see anybody beating them.
It's crazy. Look, Gonzaga better win it. Gonzaga better win it. I mean, this might be the best team Mark Few has had. Now, I'm not saying most talented team, but it might be the best team Mark Few has ever had.
What does it do for the program if they win it?
Oh, it's monstrous.
I agree.
I mean, they are already a national powerhouse, but I think it just puts them on the map. Like, it was almost like what Jay Wright was to Villanova before they won it. Like, people were like not willing to say he's one of the best coaches in the game. Like, well, you're not one of the best until you win it.
It's right. Really good comparable, though, because Villanova, and maybe it's the East Coast bias. Villanova, we've all known Villanova. I mean, when we talk about Cinderellas, they were the original, weren't they? When
yes.
they beat Georgetown yes. in 1985. So, but Villanova has had a passionate following, a passionate fan yeah. base, not a big school, but anyone that goes there, the basketball team is everything to them. Gonzaga, it's like, you got that Nova thing. Gonzaga's got the Zags thing, right? And everybody there as well, same thing. A lot of passion for that program. Winning that national championship, it kind of establishes you a little more. Your credibility goes way up the charts. And now, of course, you talk about it becoming a national team where Zags gear all over the place,
yeah.
right? Get the swoosh on it, whoever it is.
But think about it. I mean, Jalen Suggs, I mean, he doesn't go to Minnesota, right? He doesn't go to another top-tier program.
Yeah. Yeah.
He leaves in the middle of the country and goes out to the Northwest knowing that he's going to the WCC, right? Like, people don't care anymore. Like, people are looking at these big-time programs saying, why do I need to go there?
Right, it's what's best for me in my
I can get attention anywhere I go as long as I'm doing my thing. If you believe in yourself, it's a major advantage for smaller programs. Not Gonzaga's not a smaller program, yeah. but if you feel like you can go there and be seen, why not?
Especially when you can, you know, book a reservation to the tournament every year
every
and have
year.
A chance to That's be put the on a biggest stage, because you think about fans, it's so regionalized, right? You support the team in your region, but, you know, when you be able to go local when you get to the, national when you get to the tournament.
Habitual line stepper, Bart Scott. Yeah.
I just realized
you
that
can
I,
see us.
Through my reads, I made him a basketball mess around.
You missed, yeah, you missed a lot.
But those are my reads on the ground.
Yes. Noon Eastern, everybody. Bart and Hahn will be coming up on ESPN Radio after Greeny. And Jay Will is going to join us, whether he likes it or not, at 1 o'clock Eastern. So we'll see you
Can y'all print up my reads again?
Should I miss the meeting like Bart yesterday?